The time has come to experience terror at Collinwood, and I am excited to get to tonight's episode featuring Jeff Kenny and Bob Issel as we discuss Our Shadowed Past 2. But before we get to that, I do want to say a few things. I was very sad to hear a few weeks back that Rick Lay passed away. Rick Lay was a guest on Terror at Collinwood back in June of 2022. It was episode 32, where Rick and Mark Rainey joined me to discuss the Leviathan storyline. And Rick was an author and pop culture scholar. I had such a great time chatting with him and with Mark. He dropped some serious knowledge during that episode about the influence of Robert E. Howard's work on the Leviathan's storyline. I was aware of course, H.P. Lovecraft's influence on that storyline, but Rick dropped some serious knowledge during that episode, and that was really fascinating hearing about the elements from Howard's Wolf's Head and the Shadow Kingdom. Rick's obituary referenced his encyclopedic knowledge, and that was certainly accurate. So my condolences to Rick's friends and family. He will be missed. I was hoping to have him back on sometime, and I was really stunned to hear about his passing. On a similar note, I was very sad to hear about the passing of the legendary filmmaker Roger Corman. I mean, gosh, Roger Corman's influence on film cannot be overstated. I mean, I adore Roger Corman's films. I hosted many of them on my hosted horror show years ago, the public domain ones, like Little Shop of Horrors and A Bucket of Blood and several others. And I love those films. But I absolutely adore the Corman-Poe cycle, the Edgar Allan Poe films that Roger Corman made, most of which starred Vincent Price. Those films are gothic horror masterpieces. I mean, the AIP Corman-Poe cycle, I put them right up there with the best of the best of classic gothic horror films. I suspect Dan Curtis was a fan of those films too, because you can certainly feel the vibe of the Corman-Poe cycle in Dark Shadows itself. They're atmospheric and beautiful. Yeah, those films mean a lot to me. You know, films like House of Usher and The Mask of the Red Death and The Pit and the Pendulum, The Tomb of Ligeia. I love those movies. Anyway, I was really sad to hear about Mr. Corman's passing. He was 98 years old, but still, I mean, sad, you know. And I had the pleasure of meeting Mr. Corman back in 2007. I was a guest at the Icon Convention. We had only been doing our hosted horror show for a little over a year at that point, maybe a year and a half. And we were invited to come to the Icon Convention. I forgot, it was Jim Nush, I believe, invited us. Professor Kinemo was his nickname. He invited us. We were really excited to be guests there down in Long Island at Stony Brook University. And who walks by our table but Roger Corman himself? He was a guest at the convention. And we were, of course, very excited, but we stayed in character. And my late husband, who was Guru the werewolf, was howling excitedly. And I was, of course, hamming it up at how shocking. Mr. Corman seemed amused by our antics. He was chuckling. And then he came over to the table and said hi. And we asked if we could take a picture with him, and he was very gracious and said, sure. And so we got up and took a picture with him, and he has a big smile on his face. And that makes my day every time. Anytime I look at that picture, that just makes me smile. So I'm honored that he would even stop by our table and that he was so nice. And gosh, what a legend we have lost in Roger Corman. So in October at the Luna Theater in Worcester, Massachusetts, as part of the Poe in Lowell event, I will be hosting, as Penny Dreadful, The Raven, which is part of the Corman-Poe cycle. It is the horror comedy that Mr. Corman did with Vincent Price, Boris Karloff, and Peter Lorre. And that will be happening Sunday, October 20th, 2024 at 2 p.m. at the Luna Theater in Lowell, Massachusetts. A couple other things I want to mention here. I mentioned last time there's a new Dark Shadows talk show called Dark Shad Bros, and you can watch that on YouTube. There's also a Facebook page. It goes live every Friday at 8 p.m. Eastern, and there's a chat going on during the show. It's really fun. And another new thing that's going on, I mentioned this a couple episodes back, the Mad Bloods YouTube channel. They're doing a weekly episode by episode look at Dark Shadows. It's called Into the Dark Shadows. I'll put a link to that in the show notes as well.
And, of course, be sure to check out Collinsport After Dark, hosted by Alan Gallant, Between the Shadows, hosted by Kristen Pierce and Kara Tillotts, Resident of Collinwood, hosted by Jewel T. Sains, often joined by Gordon Domowski and Patrick McCrae, Dark Paradise, hosted by Rachel Pulliam, Classic Horrors Club podcast, hosted by Rich Chamberlain and Jeff Owens, Diecast Movie Podcast, hosted by Steve Turek, Monster Kid Radio, hosted by Derek M. Cook. Add them all to your listening or viewing itinerary. And without further ado, let's get to tonight's episode of Terror at Collinwood. Welcome to Terror at Collinwood. Tis I, Penny Dreadful, and I am becoming possessed by Danielle. How unfortunate, but I am fortunate because I have two wonderful guests with me this evening. I'm excited to have them back on the podcast. Returning for a visit with me here are my guests, Bob Issel and Jeff Kenny. You heard Bob in episode 15, which was the 2021 Halloween special, and episode 55, Stories from the Shadows. And you heard Jeff in episode 34, Collecting Dark Shadows. They're the masterminds behind the new and absolutely stunning 238-page Our Shadowed Past, Volume 2. Welcome to the show, guys. It's great having you.
Thank you.
Great being here, Daniel. Thanks.
Oh my goodness. What a pleasure it is to see you both again. Bob, I saw you recently in person, not too long ago over in Newport. And yeah, I still receive you at Collinwood. We spent some time there. That was really fun. And Jeff, I hadn't seen you in a little while, but we stay in touch online. So it's good to see you again.
You too.
So guys, this volume two book, it's just absolutely gorgeous. I'm blown away by it. It was really fun getting together with quite a few Dark Shadows fans. I was just telling Jeff before we started recording, when people were looking at the book and flipping through it, and they were just so excited about it. And people were signing each other's books. It was like a end of the year graduation yearbook signing where everybody's leaving notes in each other's books. And it was just such a cool experience to see people's reactions to this. So we have volume one, which I have here as well. For the video viewers, you should take a look at this. And I'm going to put up some pictures that Jeff sent me. How did volume two come about? I mean, there were so many great fan memories in the first book, but there are even more in the second one. So how did this come about?
Yeah, well, shortly after volume one came out, I got a lot of emails from people who asked me, are you going to do a volume two? You know, we'd like to contribute, because there was a lot of people that weren't in the first book that wanted to have their stories told. Mm-hmm. And I just needed some time to like just get my senses back after doing the first volume. It was a lot of work. Mark Rainey and myself and Jeff was involved in the first book too, editing and enhancing photos. So yeah, it was a labor of love, the first book, and I just felt like some of the people that were in the first book had more stories to tell as well. And I'm like, well, you know, let's give it a shot. Mark was kind of busy, but Jeff stepped up. Mark really set the template for the first book, and that's what we followed for the second book. But Jeff had to learn it on the job training. And I mean, the kid stepped up. He did a great job. Very happy with everything. And Jeff.
Yeah, we had discussed it. I believe it was last July is when we first started floating the idea of doing a second volume. And I mean, it kind of took some time before we initially announced that we were planning on doing a second volume to collect some stories. And then Bob started collecting the stories from people. They were emailing to him. And I was gathering it all. But then I had computer issues. I wound up having to get a new laptop to put the program on there. And then, unfortunately, while I was working on it, I lost my aunt, passed away. And it just kind of, my mind was elsewhere for a while. So, but eventually I gathered myself back together and just started plowing my way through the book. Because I mean, I had a lot of experience with Photoshop in the past, editing pictures and all that. But the program that was needed to actually do the book, the layout of the book and all that, I never used before. And I was able to kind of translate some of the skills over, but it was definitely a learning curve. I even watched tutorial videos online to figure out the program. And as I went along in the book, obviously I learned more and more. And so by the time I got to the end of the book, I was pretty proficient with the program. But yeah, it just, I wish we could have had it out sooner. And I mean, we were planning on having it sooner, but that's my fault. That's my bad.
Well, no, it's no, certainly not. I mean,
No,
you went through a
everything.
lot with your aunt. I mean, geez, so
Yeah,
sorry.
everything. I'm a firm believer everything happens in its own time. Like I had, I had thoughts like, gosh, I wish I had done this sooner, before 2021, and maybe I could have got a few more of the actors to contribute that had passed. And, but at any point, you just it just happens when it happens. And since volume one, unfortunately, we have lost several people that wrote for the book, and it's unfortunate, but their memories and their stories are forever, in the book, which is great. Yeah, there's a few names. I don't want to go into mentioning names because I don't want to leave anybody out, but we lost some dear friends that did contribute to the first book, so it's nice to have their memories in
Yeah,
there.
absolutely. And for those who have not read the first volume, it is a collection of fan memories from a variety of different fans, and just hearing their stories about what Dark Shadows means to them and how they discovered Dark Shadows and their experiences in the fandom, or all of their favorite characters. I mean, you name it. And it's fun reading their about their experiences. And then the second volume has more of that, more stories, but there are other things in the second volume that were not in the first book, that new things that were included that kind of spice this up and make this its own unique animal. So could you guys talk about some of the unique things in Our Shadowed Past too?
So, I mean, besides having that we started out as a base with like with the first book of just stories of fans' histories with the show. But we also wanted to include, like Bob had mentioned, other stories from people as well. So there's fan history stories, there's several different fan fiction stories in there from multiple different authors. There's, I'd say, a handful of different people submitted fan art for the book as well. And plus we also put our own little spin on it with with this chapter. Because with the first book, a lot of the pages, I mean, it was all nicely laid out, but it was just plain white backgrounds on most of it. So the night be or last 2 nights before we had to submit the book to the printers, Bob and I went through and we started adding, a lot of different, like different color backgrounds, some photo backgrounds to the pages, just to spice things up a bit. We did some color, but we just wanted to give it its, make it its own animal, separate from the first book. In the first book, I wrote about my history with the show, like most of the other people did. But in the second book, I decided to write about my history with Seaview Terrace because, growing up, obviously, you know, the house is iconic on the show. It's every single episode. It's honestly its own character on the show itself. It's the only thing seen in every single episode of the show, all 1,225 episodes. I mean, I love the house so much, I have it tattooed on my body. But, you know, starting to go to the house now, my first visit was 11 years ago. And so it's just over the years, my love for the house has just grown so much. Whenever I'm there, I even give tours of the house. But yeah, but this book, I mean, there's a lot of different stories in here between like Guy Haines, who's very familiar to a lot of Dark Shadows fans. He submitted both history story, he submitted fan fiction, he submitted fan art. So there's a lot of fans that are very well represented in this book. But yeah, we tried to make it its own thing separate from the first book while still be inspired by the first book. I tried to use the same basic layout that Mark Rainey had used for the first book, just so there's a bit of cohesion between the two. But I want to, you know, I look at it, you know, like my book, I put it together and I wanted to make it my own. So, no, I enjoyed it. I enjoyed doing it. It was stressful, don't get me wrong, especially being my first time doing it.
Want to give a shout out to Cindy Yates because Cindy designed a cover for us.
Yes, she did. And for those who may not know, Cindy Yates does great Dark Shadows jewelry. I have a Collinwood necklace I got from her. I can put a link in the show notes to her store as well. But yeah, I love, I mean, they're full color, beautiful full color photos in this. The design is beautiful. And then you have, I mean, just nice things bordered with flowers around it, which has a kind of a very
Well, that was
60s look
something
to it.
that I wanted to do in the first book, which we did do to differentiate the studio days, kids' stories that we had in the first book
That's
and
right.
the actor stories. So, you know, we had the book was kind of like broke up in sections that way with the backgrounds. But I had told Jeff with this book, I mean, it's not an inexpensive book to print. And it almost didn't get printed because I'll tell the quick story. A couple of weeks before we went to print, I had went on the website, and I was always going on the website of the company that printed the book for us, and just doing mock numbers of books printed and how many pages just to get an idea of what it was going to cost. And it happened to be a Sunday night as well, and I got on the website and it looked a little bit different. And I started punching in numbers and I looked at the screen and the price was like 125.6% higher than it had been the week before. And I just about had a heart attack. I called Jeff. I go, Jeff, pull up the website and tell me what you're seeing. And Jeff did. And he said two words. The first word was, oh, the second word was bleep. And I go, then you're seeing the same thing I go, you're seeing the same thing I'm seeing. And he said, yeah. So right away we started going looking on different websites for other printers. Well, everybody was just as high or higher. And I just couldn't figure out what had happened. So I emailed my contact at the print company and I asked her to give me a call. She called me Monday and I won't divulge her name, but I said, hi, how you doing? She goes, good, good. And I had just spoken to her a few weeks prior. I go, did your prices double since in the last 2 weeks? And she's like, yeah.
Oh my
And she
gosh.
and the reason they had been working on her website for several months, and when her website was finally ready to go, they just boom, they shot it out there, and the price just went sky high. And I told her, I go, well, yeah, I mean I didn't know what to say. She said, well, did you take any screenshots of the numbers that you had looked at? And I said, no, but I had written them down. So I gave them to her, and she said, well, let me get back to you. So, long story short, she emailed me a couple hours later. She had talked to her supervisor, and she told me they were going to honor the prices I had seen on the website 2 weeks earlier.
Oh, good. Oh, that's
That was a
great.
relief. Otherwise, we would have to print the book in black and white on like real thin paper. I mean, this book, both books are printed on the best possible paper you could use. The covers are the best possible. Everything is top of the line. And we wouldn't have been able to do that had they not worked with me. So thank you very much.
Yeah, I'm really glad they did that. I mean, just like glossy, nice, heavy paper stock, artwork, and color images. And Jeff, you did. I was honored to have written a piece for the first one and for the second one. The first was sort of my general history with Dark Shadows, but the second one was a little more focused on my grandmother and her funny reactions to watching, because she was scared of Barnabas when she'd see him show his fangs and stuff. But I sent a picture in from when I was a child with my grandmother. And I mean, Jeff, you made that picture look like it was taken yesterday. I mean, I couldn't believe it. It was like from the early 70s. And it just looked so vivid, it looked magnificent. And just the whole layout on those that spread that you did, it just looked really good. Was it difficult to restore all of these photos? I mean, it must have been quite an undertaking to do that.
Honestly, I started learning how to restore and touch up photos very early on. I was probably 12, 13, 14 years old, messing with kind of the old photo programs, old version of Photoshop. And that's something that I love to do. I do that just in my spare time, just messing around with cleaning up pictures. And so the newer versions of Photoshop have made it so much easier now. There's kind of negative aspects to some of it, but Photoshop has a lot of new AI tools in there now that really help with doing a lot of that stuff, with cleaning a lot of it up. And so that's just something that I've been trying to learn, just all their new tools that they've been adding to help with all of that. It's funny you mentioned that picture of you and your grandmother. I had We were talking that time about the wallpaper to the wall there. If you look at the background on your chapter, I tried to put a background on it that was kind of slightly inspired by the wallpaper that was in that old apartment.
I thank you for doing that. I love that wallpaper. Every time I see Quentin's room on Dark Shadows, it always reminded me of that wallpaper too, because it had that kind of, it was my parents' first floor apartment, and it was, yeah, this kind of red wallpaper with this kind of floral gold kind of design. I'll put the picture up. But yeah, that looked really cool. And then there are a lot of other interesting things in here that things that weren't in the first book too. Like Rod Labbe has an interview with Laura Parker in here, which is really poignant and wonderful that that's included in here. Because I know Rod has done a lot of interviews with the Dark Shadows cast members. I know he had interviewed Lara for Retro Fan magazine. So it's cool that he was able to contribute that. And then there are other things like you mentioned the fanfic, which is a new thing that was definitely not in the first book, the fan art, but also rare letters that were written by Dark Shadows cast members and fan club presidents and things like that that were reproduced in here, like rarities, things that you're not going to see anywhere else. So that's really.
And those were kind of like last minute fillers, really, weren't they, Jeff? I mean, I had the letter from Humbert that I put in. I had a letter from Louis Edmonds and Humbert Allen Estrado. I mean, for me, in the first book, I of course wrote about my journey through how I discovered Dark Shadows when I was a child, running home from school, the whole nine yards. So the second time around in Our Shadows Pass Two, I wanted to tell some stories about a couple of my favorite actresses who were, Diana Mallet, of course, is no longer with us, and Nancy Barrett is. And I mean, over the years, I had a lot of great experiences, and I wrote about two of them in the book. And I've actually gotten a lot of letters from people that were really enjoyed them. Guy and myself had talked years ago with Guy Haines again. that someday we would be the ones, you know, doing the fan panels, and newer fans would be asking us, well, what was Nancy Barrett like? Or, you know, what was David Selby like? Or who, you know, Laura Parker? And we would be sharing our memories, just kind of like what some of us did in this book, for people that never had the opportunity to meet some of these actors.
Yeah.
But another fact, another thing about this book that I like is we got a lot of younger people involved too in putting their stories and their artwork in.
Yeah.
And I just love seeing second and third generation Dark Shadows fans. So
yeah, that's it's great. The fans from the Discord that come to Seaview and seeing their articles in here too. It was really fun, and fan art and stuff like that. I mean, of course, we know Madeline, who's been on the podcast a few times now, and she did the Lego. She makes the Dark Shadows Lego set, which is just really cool, and it's fun seeing the enthusiasm of fans from any generation and adding to the sort of the feel of the Dark Shadows fandom. I love that. I agree with you. It's really cool. Richard Howell wrote a piece in here. He's a well-known comics creator, and I hope to have Richard on the podcast at some point. He's done work for Marvel and DC, and he used to sneak in references to Dark Shadows into his comic books, which I always thought was great.
Funny, I was just this evening, I was going through this box of old correspondence, just cleaning up a lot of stuff, and I came across something from Richard Howell where he sent me some of his art. This was over 20 years ago.
Wow.
And I didn't realize that Richard and I had went back that far when he contacted me about wanting to. It was Guy Haynes who had gotten a hold of Richard about writing for the book, and when he got a hold of me, we conversed back and forth. But until I saw this, I didn't realize that we had actually corresponded back in 2001.
Okay, you know, yeah.
I mean, 23 years ago.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I mean, Richard's, he's a great artist. And I wanted to mention Max Kern. Max has got a page of his art in there.
Max, yeah.
And he is a great artist. For my Seaview Gathering raffles, it's become a tradition now. We have breakfast at the Atlantic Grill in Middletown, Rhode Island, every Sunday morning the first Sunday morning. And for the last, I think it's been 3 or 4 parties now, Max will do a Dark Shadows drawing on the Atlantic Grill placemat.
Yes.
He does this in like 45 minutes. And it's just like this outstanding piece of art. And I'm just so envious, you know, of people that can do that.
It's incredible. So, he did one when Donna Wandry was there of Barnabas and Roxanne. And that was just incredible. Yeah. And she was impressed by that, as I recall too.
Yeah. Yeah. He's done one of Barnabas with Christine Dominicki, the Miss American Vampire.
Oh yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. That one's really cool. And he's done a Laura Parker one, I believe. Yeah, I mean, he's real, very talented. We have so many talented people. Guy Haynes has a page of his artwork in there.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, Guy is like a triple threat. He's a great writer and artist. And, you know, his memories of the festivals are amazing, too. So it's nice to have. And he was a big ambassador. He was one of the people that pushed me to do this second book.
Oh, was he? Yeah, yeah. I was going to ask about that, because was this... something that was not planned at all? Or was there ever any thought initially about doing a second book?
Well, I mean, when I did the first volume with Mark, I never thought of doing a second volume.
Mm-hmm.
And then we did much the same at a recent party when Our Shadow Past 2 came out. For those that aren't aware, we have gatherings at Seaview Terrace sporadically, and We everybody that got the book, we had a table set up, and Danielle had already talked about this, but everybody signed each other's books. Well, we did that back in 2021 too, at our Halloween party. I mean, it was 2021 Halloween. We had a table for our books, and Guy signed my book, and I didn't look at it till later, and it said, "Oh, it's a great book. Can't wait for volume 2, you know. And I'm like, "Volume 2? You know, I mean, I just got through doing this book." So, yeah.
And when will we see volume three now?
Jeff and yeah, Jeff and I, we've t well again, you know, Danielle, and it we'll have to see. The print costs are ridiculous. I mean, to do what we do something like this again, I mean, we're not they're not going to, you know, say, okay, yeah, you can have the same price you had again. You know, this was a one-time deal. So most the you know, and I guess it's COVID that's ex affected the paper market, and that's really what it's all about. And yeah,
Yeah, that's too bad. I mean, it's
we
yeah.
there's a good possibility we'll do something. We've talked about it. Yeah,
Yeah, it's just
we'll
it's really
see.
fun. I get lost in reading the just the fans' memories of their childhoods or whatever or during whatever time they got into Dark Shadows and the enthusiasm and their love for Dark Shadows and just the fandom and their experiences with the actors and everything. It's just I don't know, it's uplifting. You know, you're reading it and it makes you feel good when you after you finish reading one of these chapters. I have a smile on my face every time I read one of these. It's like, oh, that is so nice, you know.
Yeah.
It's Patty Karapinar. You got some great people in here. It's really cool. Carol Zarucha, some familiar names too. People have been on the podcast. Dominique Lamsey's, Rich Handley, Max and Madeline have been on the podcast. Steve Shutt, of course, a longtime Dark Shadows fan. A lot of fun articles in here.
Yeah.
So
And
where
along with Rod Labby, we also got Kath Torquemadas, Dee Kearney, and Paulette Nordman to make more contributions this time. You know, they were three fan club presidents back in the day, and
Yes.
I'm sure I probably thanked them before on a previous pod, but I can't thank all those fan club presidents enough for their contributions in the first book as well as the second. I mean, I envy those kids. That we're able to go to the studio. I mean, it's crazy, and to actually meet these actors and actresses, you know. And so, yeah, that's it was so much fun to gather those stories for the first volume.
How cool must that have been to live in, New York and just be able to go to the studio and wait for the actors to come out after the taping? And
Yeah.
I could just imagine how exciting that must have been. You can just tell just from the articles that the studio kids wrote, the enthusiasm and the fan club presidents too. It's just really cool to have that. And then I've had Rod on the podcast before too, and he talked about, you know, running how we got in touch with Dennis Patrick and just just called up on the phone and said, I'd like to run your fan club. So how can fans get our Shadowed Past 2? And we know our Shadowed Past 1, if for those who didn't get it, there is a Kindle version available on Amazon. I'll put a link to that. But that's volume 1. Volume 2 is not available in Kindle format. However, there are still physical copies of the book available. So how can people get our Shadowed Past 2?
So you can either email Bob directly, or we've been recently I've been putting a handful of copies on eBay as well, just for the people who prefer to go that way, purchase them that way, simply because they prefer it's secure, so in case there's any issues, eBay will handle it. But it you actually get a discounted price buying it directly from Bob. If you buy it from him, he's selling it for $27 plus shipping.
Bob, what's your email address? Can you give that?
Bobubas, Bobubas 59 at gmail.com.
Great, thanks.
Yeah, Bobubas 59 at gmail.com.
And people can just they can just send you an email, and if they want a
Yeah,
copy
just
of
send
it.
me an email and I'll send them details.
I'm just cutting in here real quick. One thing we forgot to mention is that each book currently comes with a promotional bookmark while supplies last. So there's a special bookmark that you can get with the book.
Jeff and I are also going to Burbank. We're going to the Burbank event.
I was going to ask you guys about that. Yeah.
Yeah, and we're going to bring some books with us. These books are heavy. The first book, this first the first book weighed 3 pounds. The second book's a little bit smaller, but it still weighs 2 pounds.
Yeah.
So, I mean, you carry some of these. When I brought some books to Seaview, earlier this month for our spring fling, my luggage, you get a 50-pound limit. My luggage was 48.5 pounds. I was like barely under, you know. I
Whoa.
was thinking I'm gonna, I'd throw my clothes out before I throw the books out, you know. But so we probably, we're not going to bring a lot of books with us to LA because actually we're going out there to have fun. I don't want to sit around selling books, but I know there's some people that want to pick up the book from us, so we will have some with us there.
Great. Yeah, I was going to ask you guys about that. I'm going to be out there too, so I am looking forward to that. It's going to be great to see everyone. I hope if you're listening to this, I hope that you can make it out to Burbank because we don't have these kind of gatherings at this level anymore. And of course, this is a celebration of life for Laura Parker. And then Jonathan Frid's centenary the next day. Speaking of, I gotta ask you, Bob, you have the painting of Angelique behind you for
Oh,
the
where'd
video
that come
version
from?
of this of
Funny story.
the
Well, how I acquired this back in 1995, I had a hot tub, okay? And I also was in contact with H.G. Wells' great-great grandson.
No
So
kidding, what?
between us, we managed to turn a hot tub into a time machine. So I set the dial for early April 1968, Collins Port, Maine. I arrive in Collinsport. I'm walking around town. I see this antique store. I walk in. I'm looking around. I see this very, very lovely raven-haired beauty in there, by the way. I think her name was Victoria. But anyway, she's got her hands on this portrait. I'm like, wow, that's a pretty cool-looking portrait. So I just snatched out of her hands and ran out of the store. Of
Wow.
course, it was a parallel time type thing. No. This does date back to 1995, and back then we didn't have the technology we have now. So I actually had a drum. I had a photo of the portrait, and I had a drum scan done of it, and then I had this inkjet company do a print for me, and they were very very expensive back then. And then I had a friend who worked at a wood shop, and he built the frame for me, and then I stained it, and there it is.
Wow, so that's
So,
a photo from the one in the show that you had transferred.
yeah.
Wow, that's fantastic. It looks
Yeah.
great. Yeah,
Yeah.
that's really cool. I should give a shout out to Stuart Manning. I got his Barnabas reproduction of the painting from the show. He was able to reconstruct that as well. So I have that up as a poster in the background for the video viewers. I can put a link in the show notes to the Redbubble page for that. It's amazing what can be done with technology. Like I can't imagine, 20 years from now, what are we going to be able to do, are we going to probably be everyone will have access to AI and make their own Dark Shadows episodes, probably is what it's going to be. You did have me going, Bob, there with your like H.G. Wells. Like, really? You were talking to H.G. Wells, great, great, great.
Yeah.
You know Simon Wells, Bob? That's, I mean,
Simon Wells.
I'm pretty sure
Simon.
that is his great. He
Really?
directed the that early 2000s Time Machine movie.
Well, yeah, I mean, they ripped
Oh,
me off in
wow.
2010. It was 2010. I know it well. They ripped me off. But
They ripped you
you
off?
know. Yeah, my hot tub time machine. They
Oh, the
used it in
hot
that
tub time machine.
2010.
That's right. They stole it. They
I'm
got
not
that
talking
idea
about
from
that.
your time machine. How did they know
Oh.
about that?
But oh, you know, getting back to technology, and Jeff alluded to this earlier. Like a couple of days before we went to print, I told Jeff, I go, I want to put a lot of bells and whistles in this thing. I want to put as much color in this thing as we can get in because we're paying for it. You know, you're paying for the color. And we did. There were 2 days that we just went on there and just, you know, went through all these color palettes. But it was rewarding, you
Yeah.
know, Jeff had some great ideas. I had some ideas for incorporating some shadows of the characters behind people's stories that pertain to those characters. So it was a lot of fun. It was a lot of fun. And we did it all on Zoom, which was nice. You know, Jeff had his computer there. We were able to look at everything and do it on Zoom.
Oh,
So it was
perfect. Oh,
fun.
that's great. Yeah. So this image here, you did this, Jeff?
I did. I was actually working with Guy the one night we were going back and forth on the phone, tossing around ideas. I actually found a screenshot of the show of Sarah talking to David in his bedroom, but obviously we didn't want to use that. So I actually replaced David's head with a random boy's head, which is supposed to be a young Bob Covert. I erased everything that was on the walls. I added a window in there, along with the little dog on the bed as well.
Oh,
And then
wow.
so once I had that all done, then I made turned it into a sketch version of that. There's actually
That's
another, and
fantastic.
there's a similar image that I did in the book later on for a different chapter. Marilyn Gasaway did two stories in there in one chapter, one about Elizabeth and one about David. And I found a shot of the two of them on the show, and I turned that into the whole sketch as well, just to add a little something to her story.
That's, oh, there it is. I just found it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So
Yeah.
that's why they look very
Yeah.
similar, because they're
Yeah.
both done in a similar
Oh,
process.
that's so cool. And
Yeah.
as I was flipping through, I just saw Amanda Desiree's in here too. A lot of familiar. Beth
Yeah.
Castor, yay. A lot of great names popping out here. I'm very excited for people who have not yet seen this to get their hands on it. And just quickly going back to technology, if we look at I know sometimes people are like, well, it's a fan publication. It's not, guy. It is a fan publication, but this is legit. This is like a professional, slick book. If we look at back in the day, and this, fanzine days of fan published books in the 70s, 80s, 90s, they're wonderful. The contents are wonderful, but you can tell. I mean, this is self-published. This is, I mean, nowadays it's indistinguishable from something you would buy in a bookstore. I mean, it's just what we have access to now, technology-wise, with things like Photoshop and doing the layout, book layout, using computer programs to lay out the book and then publishing it to this degree that it looks, I mean, like I said, like something you'd buy, go to Barnes and Nobles and buy.
Yeah.
It's amazing.
Well, it's registered with the Library of Congress too, so we
Yeah.
have the nine yards.
Yeah.
But Jeff had
Yeah, there is a
mentioned,
barcode right on the back there. I just noticed that. Yeah, there's an ISBN number. Yeah.
I know, people have contacted me and they've asked Jeff too, are there any copies of Volume One available? There are not, unfortunately. They sold out within the first couple months that they came out. And they show up sporadically on eBay, and they go. Jeff, what are the prices they have
I mean,
sold for on
they can
eBay?
push 100, at least around $100 on eBay.
So, but Jeff worked painstakingly to edit the finished product. We had some errors in the first book, but Jeff went back through it and spent quite a bit of time fixing all the errors to turn it into a Kindle version. So I highly recommend a Kindle version. It looks great. It's very easy to read. It's inexpensive.
And it doesn't weigh
I don't know what else
three
to add.
pounds to carry it around.
It doesn't weigh well, but your Kindle probably does. Your reader probably weighs that much. But no, I mean, it's really it came out really nice.
I will definitely put a link in the show notes to the Amazon Kindle order. You can get it right there. All right, guys, is there anything else you want to add about the book or about Dark Shadows Remembrance this summer? Anything you want to say to wrap this up?
That for me, the biggest thing that I wanted to get out of this book, was besides collecting everybody's stories and getting them all out there, for me, when I wrote my chapter, having recently lost my aunt, who I had actually brought to Sea View Terrace on a couple of occasions, she's attended some of the parties, and my grandma as well, who passed away back in 2017, who's right over my shoulder there, that she had attended a party back in 2016 as well after the festival. So I made sure that I wanted to incorporate them into the book, into my chapter as well, especially since it was about Seaview and both of them had attended parties there. So there's pictures with them in the house as well. So I just want to kind of memorialize them in there. My grandma was a big fan of the show. She She, along with my mom, are the ones responsible for my love of the show. So, and my aunt, I mean, I love her. She was goofy, but I love her. But she was like my sister, so it was very important for me to get them in there. And in Burbank, it's funny, I was just thinking about it. We both have, paintings behind us of the people that we're going to be celebrating
Yeah.
at the Burbank event.
That's right. Yeah.
But yeah, no, it was just so I dedicated my work on the book to them, because that was very important to me. But I mean, I learned a lot with this book, and if we happen to do another chapter, I'm a lot more proficient with the program now. So, I mean, it all just depends on, being able to do it because of getting it printed. But it was definitely a labor of love. It was stress, but love, because we all love the show. I mean, that's why we're all here, decades later, still talking about it,
Yeah.
just because of how great the show was. And that was barriers. These two people, both Jonathan Frid and Laura Parker, they were very instrumental, in making the show a success and why we're still here today. So, making fan fiction and fan art and stories about the show all these years later. Yeah, it was, like I said, it was a labor of love for me.
Yeah. For me, I dedicated the first book to my mom and dad. Because I used to run home from school and watch Dark Shadows with my mom, and I'd huff and puff. I'd get in the door a couple of minutes, after the show started, and I'd be like, "What did I miss?" And she goes, "Oh, nothing, just what they did yesterday." I'm like, "Good, So, but the second book, I dedicate, yeah, I dedicate the second book, to the memories of all the people we've lost. And the catalyst for doing the book was giving those people that wanted to tell their stories a forum to do so, like we did with the first book. And we had a lot of new people, and then we had a lot of people who had more to say that had written in the first book. But yet, I mean, I've been involved in Dark Shadows fandom now for 33 years, and I've met a lot of people, lifelong friendships, people that are most important to me aside from my family, I've met through Dark Shadows. And we've all lost a lot of our Dark Shadows friends over the years, especially in recent years. There's been several passings, and unfortunately we've lost some of the actors too. So it's just nice to have. It just brings everybody together. You mentioned that too, Danielle, how just reading the book, and I know Gaia has a testimonial in the eBay ad of, like, "Have you ever thought what it would be like to go back in time and w watch Dark Shadows and wonder what your friends were, thinking?" And what well this book is that. I mean, you're going back in time, and Dark Shadows. I said it in the first book. I said it. I'll say it in the second. Dark Shadows is forever. It is. It's going to continue on after I'm gone, after you're gone, after Jeff's gone. Look at the younger fans we have. I mean, Dark Shadows, it's just magic,
It is.
And but yeah, it just the books for me was dedicated to everybody that we've lost, and just I'm just happy that, people have been very receptive to it. And if we do do a third chapter, we're going to need contributors. So we'll be, if and when that comes about, we will be reaching out on the various Facebook groups and other social media platforms.
And I'll be happy to announce it here as well. I love the way you described the kind of the how Guy and his testimony, like going back in time and putting yourself in someone else's shoes and they're seeing it through their perspective, and how they experienced the show and their feelings about it. And Dark Shadows was about time travel too, and so it's you all you do kind of you're experiencing their enthusiasm through their eyes, and that's really fun. And once you're finished with one, you go to the next person, and now you're jumped into another person's experience, and it's really fun. It's just I think, I don't know, it's definitely a feel good kind of a thing, reading it. And all, but also bittersweet as well. And as you described, losing friends and actors from the show lately. It's that certainly is, especially when you go back to the first book and you read some of the chapters of people who are no longer with us, it is poignant. Excellent stuff. All right, guys. Well, I am really excited for the future of our Shadowed Past volumes 3, 4, 5, 6. The library, the bookshelf of our Shadowed Past. I love it. I would be all in for that. And also, I look forward to seeing you both at Dark Shadows Remembrance on July 5th and 6th out in Burbank. I'm not sure if I'm going to do the Greystone tour. Are you guys doing that? The tour to Greystone, to the 91 Great House? Yeah.
I'm not taking the bus ride. I'm driving there because a large part of my trip to California is visiting a bunch of different filming locations.
Okay.
I'm a big filming locations nerd. I mean, I'm sure you've seen a lot of my Dark Shadows Then and Now pictures that I've
Yes.
done. But I do that with a lot of different things. So we're going to drive to Greystone, but instead of having to deal with waiting for the bus and all that, that'll free up time for a couple of us to drive around and visit some other things while we're out there. Because it's not like we're going to be able to get into the house while we're there. It's just going to be a grounds tour.
Yeah, it's like a garden tour. Yeah, I
Yeah.
saw that.
The big thing for me about going to California is seeing people that I haven't seen since 2010, because a lot
Yeah.
of the California people don't come east,
Yeah.
and they didn't even for the 50th in 2016. There were a lot of people that didn't come out. One of the reasons was because they couldn't get tickets. It was sold. Remember, it was sold out, and then it
Yeah,
wasn't
I
sold
know.
out.
I didn't. I got locked out of that because I tried to get in, and I got a letter in the mail saying that it was sold out. So I didn't end up going. I should have tried to just go down to New York anyway and tried
Should
to.
have, because they were selling Saturday only tickets or Sunday
Yeah.
only.
All right, guys. Well, I'm excited to see you in Burbank. And with that said, everyone, please be sure to check out Our Shadowed Past Volume 1 on Amazon. You can get the Kindle version there. And if you want to get Our Shadowed Past Volume 2 right here, you can email Bob at bobubas59, BOBUBAS 59 at gmail.com, and Bob will hook you up with a copy as long as they're available, because eventually these are going to run out, and I don't think you guys have plans for a reprint on this.
Well,
So
there will not be a reprint. No
okay,
reprint.
so if you want to get this, now's your chance, folks. If you don't have it, I certainly recommend it. It's really fun. It's just a great read, and you'll have fun reading this. So thank you guys for joining me again. It's great seeing you again, and I will see you soon in person. So take care.
Thanks, Danielle. Thanks,
Thank
Danielle.
you.
Ago on the stormy coast of Maine, from the shadows came Barnabas Collins and started the vampire reign. Fangs and bangs and a big black ring, and Josette for who he cried, and Angelique and her curse of love for a man who never died.
And for as long as they lived, the dark shadows never truly vanished, for there will always be Terror at Collinwood. Terror at Collinwood is a Penny Dreadful production.